Welcome to the Happy Half, everybody. If you knew what it took to make the Happy Half Hour happen today, you would be on your knees thanking us for going through the hoops necessary to jump through to bring you the Happy Half Hour. But I'd also like to thank you. I'm on my knees for you, thanking you for joining us on the show today. And I can think of no better way to round out the week than to hang out with Craig Lowry, one of the disembodied laugh tracks of TYT. Craig, welcome to the show. How you doing this Friday?
Doing good. It's Friday. Have a good drink. You know, it's a fun work week. I've been moderating the chats, so that's been fun.
We're gonna get into what you do for everyone to make their lives better at TYT. But I think the first thing that really pops out to everybody is that you actually have the Happy Half Hour set behind you. Can you explain how this came to be and all about it?
Well, you know, I was there for the origins of the Happy Half Hour set back in the studio, back when we were trying out a few things. I remember Drink Tank was thrown out there as an idea, or Drunk Tank. But I noticed that my TV was bookended similar to the one in Studio B, and I was actually had to drop something off there earlier today. So I was like, I'll send myself that file, and I got enough bottles because I mean half the bottles in there are mine anyway.
That's true. People don't know that, but Craig was like, I kind of have some bottles, and then you showed up with just like boxes and boxes of empty bottles. So first of all, thank you for sharing your problems.
Yeah,
good for you. But also that's amazing. And it is actually like my heart is full because I've thought recently, like I missed the set and I went in to pick something up recently and I was like, oh, I miss it here. But people don't have to miss the Happy Half Hour set. I kind of want it to just be on your one shot for the rest of the show because it brings me great peace and happiness.
I mean, there's a few more props and stuff that are not bottles. So a little customized to me, but
because you got the T-Swift background.
I mean, those are some brand new vinyls I got. I mean, I've had the 1989 one for a while, but the Lover album, the vinyl comes in pink and blue. It is fantastic. And I got it. It delivered, and then she dropped a new album the next day.
Oh, really? Yeah, the folksy one.
Yeah, which is also terrific. She's like matured and grown up, and I just like it really resonates.
And that is one of those things. I know that in my crazy days when I can't really keep it together, I have taken walks, and since that album has come out that is like 13 of the same songs and I have no complaints about it.
Pretty much.
It has kept me safe and kept me sane, which brings us to our opening segment, Stay Safe, Stay Sane. So, Craig, you seem to be sane. You seem to be holding it together. What are you drinking on today's show?
So it's a little bit diminished here, but I looked up this cocktail, and it's called a New York Sour.
What is in a New York Sour?
So you get bourbon whiskey, lemon juice. And then instead of simple syrup, like you would put in a normal whiskey sour, you put maple syrup. Gives a little, you know, little darkness and complexity there. It's fun. And then after you've shaken that over ice and then put it in the glass, you do the trick, which I severely messed up, where you pour liquid over the back of a spoon so it like doesn't mix the layers. And it went, and so you put wine to try to get like the fruitiest wine you can. I got a nice Syrah from Monterey County, where I went to school. So I tried to customize it a little bit. But then I got wine everywhere because it turns out the back of a spoon is not great to pour things over.
All it does is spread everything everywhere.
It's like when you're trying to wash it in the sink and it just like it sprays all over the place. But yeah, it's actually the it's cool looking when I first make it because you have the layers, but as it gets combined, it tastes even better. Like,
oh, good for you. Yeah. I had a Negroni, which I've had for most shows. And then usually I drink like two or three and my wife keeps like feeling bad for me. So she brings in more. But I have transitioned to the Budweiser Light in my Bear Deer beer koozie that I got on vacation someplace.
Classic golf beer.
It really is. We are both golfers. Craig, can you just, for people who don't know what you do at TYT, can you fill them in on what you do?
I do a lot of things at TYT. Started out as an intern, and I was stage managing. Learned from the best. Learned from Edwin. Also learned that it was okay to laugh during the main show. I currently during the pandemic and even back in the studio, I set up the streams a lot. So if you're seeing it, I went through YouTube and Twitch and all these different platforms. And I received the signal from the technical director and send that out. I've been moderating the chats. So that's been fun because you get to see a lot of hateful comments. been doing that. Some viewer outreach. But back when we were in studio, I'm a computer graphics operator. Usually with Brandon, who's directing this. I do a bunch of little things around the office, but mainly I feel like when we're in the office, my main job is to try to like keep people happy because it's drab a lot of the time.
We'll get into the ways throughout the show that you have kept people happy. We have some segments specifically catered to Craig. We did not send him anything ahead of time. And I think that's my failure, but I feel like you're so great, you're just gonna go with it.
I'll go with it.
How have you been staying sane and keeping yourself together throughout this apocalypse we're all living through?
I like to get into do deep dives on random things. So I'll watch the same movie over and over again and just kind of study it. Or I'll for a while, I really got into the movie Zodiac by David Fincher.
Yeah,
and so great. I started reading books about Zodiac that it's based off of, and then trying to get into that and watch all the commentaries. Other than that, I've been other things about movies. I watch at least a movie a day. So I try to do deep dives into that. But otherwise, I've been playing disc golf because getting outside is important. Mm-hmm. A good way to just hike and play with my dog.
Give us three movies to watch before we go to break. What are three movies you watched lately that you just, the names of them that you feel people should get into?
I love Whiplash, watched that the other night. Chinatown, I was feeling, if you haven't seen Chinatown, classic. John Wick 3, because it is just the most reactions that I've ever had of oh. So check them all out. It's a variety.
Fantastic. Check out the rest of the show. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we got a lot more for you right on the Happy Half Hour. The second fart is really my favorite fart.
I haven't seen that intro yet. That's fantastic. I love it.
Appetizing or crappetizing. In celebration, I'm going to take a shot of Underberg, which has been on the show before as the worst, one of the worst drinks in the world. But appetizing or crappetizing, I'm going to take it as we play this first video. So just let me first explain what appetizing or crappetizing is. We're going to show you some stuff, and then we're going to ask you if it's appetizing or crappetizing. Craig's going to make his decision as to whether he likes it and thinks it's good or it's bad. And this first one comes from Russia. This is a cake from Russia. We'll talk about Craig's contribution to the cake and baked goods in the office, because he's an expert on it. But first, let's take a look at this cake from Russia in appetizing or crappetizing. So as you saw, that was a cake of the dead Lenin.
Yep.
Appetizing.
And here's why. Half that cake is just frosting flowers. Like, you know, the whole bottom half of that cake is just a regular cake. That's fantastic. Now the top half got to be a little weird to eat, but I would absolutely eat it. I actually, this that's reminding me right now. So I am known in my family because I, as a young child, I went to somebody's 20-year wedding anniversary, and they had a giant sheet cake that, you know, said happy 20th anniversary, blah, blah. And like, you know, a little bit into the cake, maybe like 6 inches, was a big frosting flower. And I went and asked my parents, like, hey, can I go get a piece of cake? And they're like, yeah, 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 whatever, serve it yourself. And so without a single piece being cut out of the cake, I cut out the flower from the middle and ate it. So considering that half that that cake is just frosting flowers, absolutely appetizing.
Right. So the frosting flowers is one thing. And my question just about the integrity, and I've watched a lot of Cake Boss, not to out myself as a cool guy, but Cake Boss has the fondant is an issue. I don't think any of that is fondant. I think it's
like buttercream.
Just buttercream. So the question is the cranium extra cake, or is that just all frosting?
Inquiring. To shape it, it's got to be cake.
Okay, like, so there's a cake situation. My God, I just want to eat Lemon's face.
I would, it would be a little weird to eat the face. But all the rest of that, perfectly appetizing.
From each according to their ability, to each according to their need, and I need to eat Lennon's face. Okay, so appetizing. Okay, absolutely. That's that. Next up, in the cake vein, is, have you, and I know we're late to this, but Craig is the person who bakes the delicious treats for the office. As the person who makes people happy, I feel like you're responsible for the most direct happiness, because for weeks and weeks, you would just bring in like a whole baked goods thing with like cookies or muffins. Why did you do that?
I mean, we work in news. It's a little drab sometimes. So I love baked goods, and I frankly just really like baking. Sometimes I would get up a little too early to make some of that stuff, but because I wanted it to be, you know, hot and fresh. But I was experimenting with a lot of different things to try to make. I really wanted to make muffins for a while. My most recent project, I've been learning to make madeleines. And so once we get back to the office, that will be, I'll have a bunch of those. I've nailed that down.
That's going to make me want to go into science to cure coronavirus, just so we can get to Madeline. And people don't get to see this, but I get to see it. But like Alex's reaction to the Madelines is,
wow. Oh yeah, you put a little lemon in there. Oh, I've gotten that down. I've been messing with like how much salt, how much lemon, butter, sugar, all that. I'm not to brag, I make some pretty darn good Madelines.
You make some great muffins. And I do want to show you this. This is something that went around the internet. We're just going to throw to it as B-roll, but the everything is cake. Did you see this? People posted videos.
I saw one of a dog one time, which was horrifying. Oh, so
eggplant as cake.
See, these are convincing. That's
it looks like a lemon, but it's a cake.
Wow, that's actually really impressive. So, whoa.
Okay, I'm gonna focus on that. So we've got all these different things, but particularly, like, yeah, it's fine to have macaroni and cheese be a cake because macaroni and cheese is delicious. But like a pump or an oyster, just like a raw oyster that looks like an oyster, and then you cut into it, and it turns out it's just
Sure that it's immediately appetizing. I'm sure it tastes great, because if you see, it looks like in the oyster specifically, that it looks like a jelly almost, mm-hmm. or so, you know, something in the middle there. I'm just really impressed with like the sheen that they get on everything. They make everything look like super realistic, which is incredible. I would absolutely eat every one of these. The mac and cheese is very impressive too, because you have to make each one of those noodles. That's got to be pretty difficult. But yeah, the oyster, not necessarily appetizing to look at, but I would try it.
I guess if it's cake, then it absolutely has to be eventually appetizing. Here's an image that someone shared. Her name is RJ Tulloch, aka Cake Facer J, saying we're all cake. This is makeup. So that's a woman who has closed her eye and painted cake onto her face.
Oh, I thought that was amazing. Like something done digitally. Oh wow, that's incredibly impressive. It's freaky. It makes me uncomfortable.
Right. But. That's crappetizing. But the thing is, like, that is appetizing to me. And because it makes me feel like a cannibal, and I don't want to be that person.
Exactly. Like that's the thing. Like, especially all these vegetables and other foods make it look like that. All deleted. I don't feel bad. But like as we've seen that, you know, in the past, I remember there was one where it looked like a little like pug. A puppy or a bulldog puppy or something, and I was just like, "What are you doing? This it's too realistic." Like that's what I could. Dog. Like as long as it's not living, like that's I think it's okay.
That one, the
that's pretty crap appetizing.
Raw chicken, you're gonna kill somebody. This is the most zen thing I've seen on the internet in a while. It's like someone spent so much time making fake soap.
Yeah, I'm terrible at stacking cakes, so this is even like way more impressive to me. That's the one fault in all my baking is that like layer cakes I find very difficult. Oh man, the potted plant would also be that's a little crappetizing. I'm sure once again, I'm sure at the end of the day it's all delicious.
Oh my god, it is all delicious. All right, we got to take a break. We got a lot more happy half hour after this. We're going to play another game and it's called Thanks, I Hate It, so don't go away. Welcome to Thanks, I Hate It, everybody. The segment where we show you something that you're going to hate, but you're welcome. All right. So the first thing is this application, which you can see as presented by the good people of Australia. CSIRO is the name of their like they seem to be into spiders very much because it is an app that allows you to identify spiders. Here's how it works. If you see a spider, you take a photo and they want to essentially make it so that you can. It's Shazam for spiders. According to the CNET article we read, it's a machine learning engine designed to automatically identify different species of spiders and snakes. An AI-powered algorithm like Critterpedia, which it's called, requires hundreds of thousands of images to become accurate in its assessments. So Cicito and Data61 are hoping to get as many people as possible to download Critterpedia and upload pictures of spiders and snakes they might see in the world. If you want to become an early adopter to help them, here is the website critterpedia.com/phase-1testers. That is, will take you here. So phase-1-testers to make it so that you can do this thing that's a Shazam for spiders. They say, according to Kylie Turnbull, of the director of Good Start, Robina Grove, she says, we think our preschool children would really benefit from this platform with such a fun way of teaching them about Australia's insects, spiders, and snakes. They would learn so much. So Craig, the idea of this is to get kids going to find poisonous spiders. All of them in Australia are poisonous so that they can help identify what they are. What are your thoughts?
This is one of my worst fears. Like I know it's very basic to be afraid of snakes and spiders, but those are the two things that absolutely terrify me. I'm from Bakersfield, so I've seen a lot of snakes. And spiders, black widows are very prominent there. This is just encouraging kids to get really close to these things. Those are particularly horrifying spiders. Like burn the house down. Like there's no excuse for that.
Yes, dude. I think we covered it on Happy Half Hour once in Australia. There was this video taken inside someone's house where it was mating season, and these two fighting snakes just fell through the ceiling of someone's house and kept fighting. And they were like 8 feet long. And this is just a day in Australia.
No, I love to travel. I don't get to do enough of it, but I'll never go to Australia. You can't pay me enough money to go to Australia. Sorry, there's just, you got too many crazy things there, particularly snakes and spiders. And yeah, like, and I grew up in the desert, so I don't need that.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid of spiders. Like, I'll still handle them if they're in the house. My wife will pick them up with her hand and take them outside. I'll be like, I'm going to kill it.
Smashing it, and then I'll do the cleanup.
Like, yeah, and she's like, here's what happens is if you smash them, the spiders will come. It's like, that is the dumbest way of evolving. I don't believe that. Why would you go someplace where it's proven they kill spiders?
Yeah.
No, that's not a thing. So thanks, I hated about that. What were you going to say?
Absolutely hate it. No, that's the worst thing I've ever seen.
All right. So the next thing in thanks, I hate it is the anglerfish. Let's take a look at an anglerfish. There has been just to give you an idea of the kind of photos of anglerfish that we at the Young Turks have access to. It's just like artist renderings. We don't have like the Discovery Channel license to get a photo of an anglerfish. We have like some iStock photo person's drawing, which I think is probably cooler than a real one.
I feel like footage of an anglerfish is pretty hard to come by. Like,
it is. Yeah. So just to give you an idea, we went through, there has been a new discovery about anglerfish mating. And apparently the male anglerfish has evolved to just become something very disgusting sounding, as will be proven with this next graphic. For many anglerfish species, the male's sole responsibility is to permanently latch on to an obliging mate, fuse his circulatory system with hers, then slowly allow his eyes, fins, and most of his internal organs to degenerate until he becomes what biologist Stephen Jay Gould calls a penis with a heart. And we have a photo because it's a government-owned image, and so your taxpayer dollars at work show you. In the bottom corner, you see that thing that's just kind of dangling out the bottom left, the bottom side of it. That's the male anglerfish. The thing that looks like a belly button you need to cut off, that is the male anglerfish who is attached. And essentially, he gives his entire life and up to like three or four at a time can attach to the female anglerfish, impregnate her, and then become part of her body and die. Thanks, I hate it. What are your thoughts?
Marriage, am I right? No, that's horrible. Oh my God, that's like a praying mantis where they, you know, like pull off the head afterwards. That's awful. I get it. It's nature, but there's a reason why it's in pitch black bottom of the ocean, because nobody wants to see that at all. That's, oh God. Like, what I want to know is like, do the female anglerfish care? You know, like do they, at least they're like, man, they really sacrificed himself for me. I don't know.
Oh, did man. She even
I don't even.
Oh, it's like perfect. So rarely are you like, oh, this chapter in the book of evolution was written by like your granddad, who's like, sometimes marriage is just someone's leeching off someone else, and I don't feel like a person anymore. And I feel like I've given away everything for you kids.
No shots at anglerfish, but they're like super ugly. So yeah. Like they already have it hard enough. And just that, oh man. That's just a toxic relationship, frankly. You know?
Well, like, I'll tell you what's not.
What are you gonna call your kid anglerfish?
You don't have to say, they grow up and they're like, oh, there's just mom.
Yeah. His
dad is like four scales on her underbelly. I'll tell you what's not a toxic relationship, our relationship with you, Craig. Thank you so much for being on Happy Half Hour. You're fantastic. This has been fantastic. Thank you everybody for watching. We're out of time, but we'll see everybody next week on the show. Bye.